This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Before we get started, I have some announcements. If you are following my IMBD, I'm registered on IMBD as Jeffrey Frazier. If you have IMBD, you can give this podcast a rating of 10. You can also follow me on my Instagram, which is BlackHage840. BlackHage840, you'll go to my bios and you can see my Twitter, my Facebook, and my Twitch account. Now, in today's episode, we're going to talk about how I live in New York City and this pandemic has really screwed up the state of New York. The last week and a half has been crazy with the amount of stories that's been coming in. And to top it off, the new Attorney General of the federal government is saying that Governor Cuomo completely mishandled the situation with the nursing homes. And we're basically going to talk about that. Now, the first thing we're going to talk about is the serial killer who's been killing people in the Brownsville section of Brooklyn. He's been killing the elderly. We're going to read some stories about that guy. Give me 1 second. I'm going to pull up the article right now. This article comes from CABS New York, the website, local news, Brownsville. Okay. 70-year-old woman found dead with cord wrapped around neck in Brooklyn Niger building. Residents say previous security concern was not addressed after tenant was beaten to death in 2019. New York police are searching for answers after a 70-year-old woman was found dead in her Niger apartment building Friday. It's not the first tragedy that has struck the senior housing development. NYPD officers are now stationed outside the Niger's Carter Woodson Senior Housing Development in Brooklyn. Police to say 78-year-old Juanita Carbero was discovered dead by her son in the hallway of a sixth-floor apartment with cord wrapped around her neck. You see her, she walks with her walker, she minds her business, Tenant Associated President Diane Johnson told CBS2's Andrea Klein Thomas. Sources to say Carbero's apartment was not ransacked. Officers are still trying to determine what happened. Now this incident adds to mounting fears. We have tenants that in the day or night time are scared to go into the incinerator. We don't know who's going to come out that exit, Johnson said. 2019, 83-year-old resident Johnny James was found beaten to death in an apartment, shook this community to the core, and residents said the concerned tenants had been never addressed by the city of Niger. This is why Councilwoman Inez Brown Renew called it for increased security first made after James' murder. We're not taking any excuses. We're not waiting for any other tragedies to occur here, Brown said. They're asking for more cameras throughout the building, well beyond the lobby, and better security guards. This person that sits here, we might have to help them. They don't have mace. They don't have a taser. They don't have anything, Johnson said. There was a street light outside the building was being fixed, another one of the concerns. Both Barron and Johnson said Naja initially agreed to the upgrades, but plans stalled because of COVID restrictions. We are demanding that Naja and the mayor set their timetable beginning tomorrow, Baron said. A plan to finally fulfill the promises made in the midst of the heartache nearly 2 years ago that returned Friday night, so the vulnerable residents can finally begin to feel safe. In a statement, Naja said it's working with the city and its partners to expedite the installation of more security cameras. Yeah. That's the type of thing that's been happening in New York City. Yeah. Let's read this article here. Family of alleged serial killer victim plans to sue Naja for $25 million. Juanita Carvalho was fatally strangled with a telephone cord in Woodson Houses in Brownsville. Suspected serial killer Kevin Gavin has been arrested to connection to the crime. The family of Brooklyn woman alleged brutally strangled by an accused serial killer neighbor plans to sue the New York Housing Authority for $25 million over what they called shoddy security. Juanita Carvalho, 78, was found lying on the floor of the hallway in the Woodland Houses in Brownsville by her son last week. A telephone cord had been wrapped around her neck. A neighbor handyman, Kevin Gavin, was arrested in her death and killings of two other elderly women in the complex. The legal came a precursor to the lawsuit accuses New York City Housing Authority of wrongful death and negligence. Naja failed to see the numerous complaints from residents and local officials about a lack of security cameras, guards, and functional locks, according to the document. But Naja also simply failed to follow its own rules, said lawyer Adam Dusht, who reps Cabela's family. You're not allowed to live in a New York City Housing Authority building with a criminal record, said Dusht, noting Gavin's record of burglary and drug charges. You've never actually been in a building, introspective to clear lack of security. Clearly, where there's multiple murders, you can't just sit back and wait. You have to do something affirmative. New York City Housing Authority declined to comment. Yeah, this is crazy. Yeah, it shows you exactly what's going on in New York City. Now, also, there was a situation in Harlem where a black woman is attacked over there by 125th Street and Lexington Avenue. 125th Street and Lexington Avenue, that section of East Harlem is actually very rough. And I'm going to talk about that article, that story here. This is from News One. Harlem shows support for black woman mauled, beaten by trio of men outside a liquor store. In the name of hashtag protect black women, Harlemites came out full force over the weekend to march and advocate for a 31-year-old mom who was bitten, beaten, spit on, and robbed on January 18th after she refused a man's offer to pay for her ride. Community members gathered in front of the liquor store Saturday located at West 128th Street and St. Nicholas Avenue and marched for blocks calling for justice. Advocates includes members of the victim's family in a group Stand Against Violence East Harlem ran by Director Omar Jackson. If we don't do this, who is? It's our responsibility. It's our duty to protect women and children in our community. The incident took place on January 18th around 6 p.m. when a woman entered looking to purchase some wine after work. After she reviews one of the men's advances, she said one of the men grew angered and followed her outside when she was attacked in the process. The men also stole her iPhone, worth around $750. I couldn't believe it. It was like an animal. That's the only way that I can put it. It was like an animal, the woman who was just to remain unidentified at NBC New York. I just remember screaming to the top of my lungs and just saying, he's biting me, he's biting me. He bit through my elbow and opening his mouth to try to regrasp. It was like they wanted to degrade me by spitting on me and kicking on me, she said. The woman was able to escape a sustained trauma to her eye, but she had to receive stitches. It's just sad. You can't go about your day minding your own business. A polite decline couldn't let something like this. I'm a mother, a daughter, and I'm a friend. This could be anyone's mother, sister, daughter that's just in the store minding their business, purchasing their goods. Police are asking anyone for information leading to the arrest of three men to come forward. According to the surveillance video, one man's wearing a red jacket with a black trimmed glasses. Second is wearing a black jacket with a hooded sweatshirt. And the third was wearing a red hooded sweatshirt with a denim vest. Community advocates are offering $2,000 and $5,000 for information leading to an arrest. This is from BlackEnterprise.com. Rally held in Harlem after woman suffers brutal attack near a liquor store. Harlem residents gathered for a rally to support one of their own. The assembly was held in response to a brutal attack on a woman outside of a Harlem liquor store last week. CBS reported that the demonstration took place in front of the Adam Clayton Powell Jr. State Office Building on Saturday. Roughly 100 people showed up to denounce the heinous assault on a 31-year-old unidentified woman. This is a liquor store where the young lady was assaulted. Harlem not with the bullshit. One resident tweeted video of the event wrote as the hashtag protect black woman. According to CBS News, a trio of thugs attacked the woman after rebuffing advances of one of the male suspects. The 31-year-old man had gone to the liquor store located on 128th Street and St. Nicholas Avenue to buy a bottle of wine. Last Monday around 6 p.m., one of the men seen in the red coat video footage offered to purchase the beverage for her, but she declined. The suspect took the woman's no thank you as an insult. She detailed further that she basically said she felt like I thought I was better than them. The victim gathered her things and left the store. That's where things took a turn for the worse. The group of men followed her out the store while becoming more aggressive. I just asked him, you seriously trying to fight me? I'm trying to go about my business, she recalled the response to her attacker's menacing behavior. The group of men chased the mom down and surveillance captured the game, illicitly kicking and beating her. One of the suspects maliciously rolled her in the face, injuring her eye, which no longer opens. To bite me and do that, the woman said the news outlet, mauled me the way they did, with me screaming and saying, I'm just trying to get to my daughter. That's an animal. That's not a person. After the gang beat the woman, they stole her phone and it fell out of her hands. CBS also reported after assault, a person had seen urged the woman to flee. The suspect allegedly had attacked another woman in the past. Willicks called the police and she was taken to a local hospital in Harlem. The search is underway for the goons involved in the attack. Several members of the Harlem community in New York City rallied on Sunday in support of a black woman who was attacked outside a liquor store on January 18th. The 31-year-old woman who wishes to remain anonymous and entered a Harlem liquor store to make a purchase when three young men asked to retrieve liquor for her. According to ABC News, after politely declining to do so, and subsequently attacked right outside the store. A surveillance camera captured the attack. The woman said she was punched, kicked in her face, and beaten. I was mauled. This is more than being bitten, she said. The New York NBC News reports that she was also spit on during the attack. I couldn't believe it. It was like an animal, she said. That's the only way I can put it. It was like an animal. According to police, the $750 iPhone was stolen during the attack as well. The police are still investigating the incident and in search of all three suspects. The Harlem community has responded to the woman's attack on Saturday. A group of residents took to the Harlem streets in protest. The video of the demonstration was captured and posted to social media. One Instagram post by Rachel Norlander. The group of demonstrators is seen marching on the New York City's Trade Protect Black Women. CBS News reports that several of the protesters gathered outside the liquor store where the woman was attacked. Among the protesters was the activist group SAVE, Stand Against Violence East Harlem, urging the people to protect women in the neighborhood. If we don't do it, who will, says SAVE Director Omar Jackson. It's our responsibility. It's our duty to protect our women and children in the community. Black-owned Harlem restaurant Prani Bistro robbed and vandalized. One community advocate, Tony Herbert, is offering a cash reward for anyone that can provide information that will lead to the capture of the three attackers. What took place here is atrocious, Herbert told NBC New York. To assault a sister like that is an insult and a direct attack on every woman in our city. This pandemic is really turning on people into savages, bro. Oh boy, this is getting rough out here. I'm gonna take a quick break. I'll be back in one moment. Black Wall Street Chronicles and look back at it again. Thanks for the break. Thanks for waiting for me on this break. Let's see if I can find any other stories. Yeah, so what I was going to do was talking about how the Attorney General of the new Attorney General is going after doing an investigation on Governor Cuomo on his handling of the COVID-19 something that happened with the nursing homes. This is from CBS News. NY COVID nursing home deaths may be 50% higher than reported. New York Attorney General Letitia James released a report on Thursday alleging that the New York State Department of Health may be undercounting nursing home COVID-19 deaths by as much as 50%. A large number of nursing home residents died from COVID-19 in the state Department of Health. Focus nursing home data reflected and may be undercounted as much as 50%, reads a press release from the Attorney General's office unveiling the report. According to James, the discrepancy is probably due to the health department's nursing home data not accounting for nursing home residents who died from COVID-19 in the hospitals after being transferred for their nursing homes. The New York State Health Commissioner, Dr. Howard Zucker, released his own statement in response to the report on Thursday. Zucker took the issue with James undercount allegation, noting that all COVID-19 deaths are being accounted for the base on the location they took place, not the victim's origin. The word undercount implies that there are more total fatalities than were being reported. This is factually wrong, Zucker wrote. The OIG's report is only referring to the count of people who were in nursing homes but transferred to hospitals and later died. The OIG says that all should have been counted as nursing home deaths were not hospitalized even though they died in hospitals, he wrote. Now this does not change any way the total count of deaths, but is instead a question of allocating the number of deaths between hospitals and nursing homes. The DOH has constantly made clear that the numbers are reported based on the place of death. So let's read more articles on this since we get more information. New York State Attorney General. This is the New York State Gov press release. Attorney General James released report on nursing homes response to COVID-19. Attorney General Letitia James today released report on her office ongoing investigations into nursing homes responses to the COVID-19 pandemic. Since March, Attorney General James has been investigating nursing homes throughout New York State based on allegations of patient neglect and other concerning conduct that may have jeopardized the health and safety of residents and employees. Among those findings were that of a larger number of nursing home residents died from COVID-19 than the New York State Department of Health published nursing home data that reflected and may have been undercounted as much as 50%. The investigation also revealed that nursing homes' lack of compliance with infection control protocols put residents in increased risk of harm. The facilities that have voted pre-pandemic staff ratings have higher COVID-19 fatality rates. Based on these findings and subsequent investigation, Attorney General James is conducting ongoing investigations into more than 20 nursing homes who reported conduct during the first wave pandemic presented particular concern. As the pandemic and our investigations continue, it is imperative that we understand the residents of nursing homes in New York unnecessarily suffered at such an alarming rate, said Attorney General James. While we cannot bring back the individuals we lost in this crisis, this report seeks to offer transparency that the public deserves and to spur increased action to protect our most vulnerable residents. Nursing homes residents and workers deserve to live and work in a safe environment, and I will continue to work hard to safeguard this basic right during the precarious time. The Office of the Attorney General is the only law enforcement agency in the state specifically mandated to investigate and prosecute abuse and neglect of residents in nursing homes. In early March, OAG received and began to investigate allegations and indications of COVID-19-related neglect of residents in nursing homes. In the direction of Governor Andrew Cuomo on April 23rd, OAG set up a hotline to receive complaints relating to communications by nursing homes with family members prohibited from in-person visits to nursing homes. The former initiated a large-scale investigation of nursing homes' responses to the pandemic. OAG received more than 770 complaints on the hotline through August 3rd and an additional 179 complaints through November 16th. OAG also continued to receive allegations of COVID-19-related neglect of residents through pre-existing reporting systems. The report includes preliminary findings based on data obtained, investigation conducted to date, recommendations that are based on those findings, related findings in pre-pandemic investigations of nursing homes, and other available data and analysis. Based on this information and subsequent investigation, OAG is currently conducting investigations into more than 20 nursing homes across the state. OAG found that a larger of nursing home residents died from COVID-19 than DOH data reflected. A lack of compliance with infection control protocols put residents at increased risk of harm. Nursing homes that entered the pandemic with low U.S. Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services. Staffing rating had higher COVID-19 fatality rates. Insufficient personal protective equipment. The nursing home staff put residents at increased risk of harm. Insufficient COVID-19 testing for residents and staff in the early stages of the pandemic for residents at increased risk of harm. The current state of reimbursement model for nursing homes gives a financial incentive to owners for profit nursing homes to transfer funds to related parties, ultimately increasing their own profit instead of investigating in higher levels of staffing and PPE. Lack of nursing home compliance with the executive order requiring communication with family members causes vulnerable pain and distress, and government guidance requiring the admission of COVID-19 patients into nursing homes may have put residents in increased risk of harm in some facilities and may have obscured the data available to assess that risk. The undercounting of COVID-19 deaths in nursing homes. Hold on for a second. Undercounting of COVID-19 deaths in nursing homes. Preliminary data obtained by OAG suggests that many nursing home residents died from COVID-19 in hospitals after being transferred for their nursing homes, which is not reflected in DOH published total nursing home death data. Preliminary data also reflects apparent underreporting to DHS by some nursing homes that resident deaths occurring in nursing homes. In fact, the OAG found that nursing home resident deaths appeared to be undercounted by DOH by approximately 50%. OAG asked 62 nursing homes 10% of total facilities in New York for the information about on-site and hospital deaths from COVID-19. Using the data from these 62 nursing homes, OAG Compare. No facility deaths reported to OAG compared to the facility deaths publicized by DOH. And two total deaths reported to OAG compared to total deaths publicized by DOH. One example, a facility reported 5 confirmed and 6 presumed COVID-19 deaths in the facility as of August 3rd in DOH. However, the facility reported to OAG a total of 27 COVID-19 deaths at the facility and 13 hospital deaths in discrepancy of 29 deaths. Lack of compliance with infection control policies. OAG received numerous complaints that some nursing homes failed to implement proper infection controls to prevent or mitigate the transmission of COVID-19 to vulnerable residents. Among these reports were allegations that several nursing homes around the state failed to plan and take proper infection control measures, including failure to properly isolate residents who tested positive for COVID-19, failing to adequately screen or test employees for COVID-19, demanding that 6 employees continue to work and care for residents or face retaliation or termination, failing to train employees in infection control protocols, and failing to retain fit and trail caregivers with PPE. For instance, OAG received a complaint that its for-profit nursing homes located north of New York City. Residents who tested positive for COVID-19 were intermingled with general population for several months because the facility had not created a COVID-19 only unit. At another for-profit facility in Long Island, COVID-19 patients who were transferred to the facility after a hospital stay were supposed to be placed in a separate COVID-19 unit in the nursing home where effects scattered throughout the facility despite available beds in COVID-19 unit. The situation was religiously resolved only after someone in the facility learned of a pending DOH infection control visit scheduled for the next day, before which these residents were hurriedly transferred to the appropriate designated unit. OAG received reports that the nursing homes did not properly screen staff members before allowing them to enter the facility to work with residents. Among those reports, OAG received an allegation that a for-profit nursing home north of New York City failed to consistently conduct COVID-19 employee screening. It was reported that some staff avoided having their temperatures taken and answering a COVID-19 questionnaire at times when the screening station at the facility's front office had no employees present to take the information when the staff entered the facility with a back entrance, avoiding the screening station altogether. Wow. And yet another facility in Western New York, a nurse reported to OAG that immediately prior to the facility's first DOH inspection in late April, a nurse supervisor had set up bins in front of the units with gowns and N95 masks to make it appear that the facility had an adequate stock of appropriate PPE for the staff. The nurse alleged that the nurse supervisor came to work unusually early the day the first inspection and brought out all new PPE and collected all the used gowns. Although initial DOH survey conducted today did not result in negative findings, DOH returned to the facility for follow-up inspection, issued the facility several citations, and ultimately placed the facility in immediate jeopardy. Nursing home with low staffing ratings had higher fertility rates. There are 619 nursing homes in New York City and 619 nursing homes in New York. The 401 of these facilities are for-profit, privately owned, and operated entities. Of the state's 401 for-profit facilities, more than two-thirds, 280 nursing homes, have the lowest possible CMS staffing ratings. The staffing rating reflects the number of staffing hours in the nursing department of a facility relative to the number of residents. as of November 16, 3,487 COVID-19 resident deaths occurred in these 280 facilities. Some of these facilities has been known to transfer facility funds to owners and investors rather than used to invest in additional staffing to care for residents. Pre-existing insufficient staffing levels put resident and staff at increased risk of harm during the pandemic. As nursing home resident and staff COVID-19 infections rose through the initial wave of the pandemic, staffing absences increased in many nursing homes. As a result, already low staffing levels decreased even further to especially dangerous levels in some homes. Even as control protocols to loss of assistance. Excuse me, I lost my place. Even as the need for care increased due to the need to comply with COVID-19 infection control protocols and loss of assistance from the family visitors. OAG's preliminary investigation reflects many examples where the for-profit nursing home's pre-pandemic low staffing models simply snapped under the stress of the pandemic. OAG received a complaint from resident son for a profit nursing homes in New York City, alleging that his mother was not receiving proper care because of clearly low staffing levels at the facility. His mother was never tested for COVID-19, but later died while exhibiting COVID-19 symptoms. Between late March and early April, the facility was so understaffed during quarantine while from home and pre-existing low staffing that the on-site management of the entire building was in the left of the hands of two nurse supervisors. During the week of April 5th, 33 residents died at that facility, 15% of all just residents. My God. In addition to preliminary investigations indicate that when there were insufficient staff to care for the residents, some nursing homes pressured, burdened, permitted, or incentivized existing employees who were ill or met quarantine criteria to report to work and even work multiple consecutive shifts of violations of infection control protocols. These policies put both residents and staff at great risk. Immunity provisions. Despite these disturbing and potentially unlawful findings due to recent changes in state law, it remains unclear to what extent facilities or individuals can be held accountable if they found to have failed to improperly protect the residents in their care. March 23rd, Governor Cuomo created limited immunity provisions for healthcare providers related to COVID-19. Emergency Disaster Treatment Protection Act provides immunity to healthcare professionals from the potential liability arising from certain decisions, actions, or omissions related to the care of individuals during COVID-19 pandemic. While it is impossible to healthcare decisions in good faith during an unprecedented public health crisis, it would not be appropriate or just for those who are homeless to interpret this action is providing blanket immunity for causing harm to residents. In order to ensure no one can evade potential accountability, Attorney General James commends amending these newly enacted immunity provisions. Attorney General James encouraged anyone with information or concerns about the nursing home condition to file confidential complaints online by calling 833-249-8499. This report is correct, a part of investigative work undertaken since March 2020 by the Medicaid Fraud Control Unit, 275 attorneys, forensic auditors, police investigators, medical analysts, data scientists, electronic investigation team, legal assistants, support staff in 8 offices across New York. MFCU is led by Director Amy Held, Assistant Deputy Attorney General Paul J. Mahoney. MFCU is part of the Division for Criminal Justice, which is led by Chief Deputy Attorney General for Criminal Justice Jose Maldonado, and overseen by First Deputy Attorney General Jennifer Levy. MFCU receives 75% of its funding for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Service under a grant award totaling $60,071,905 for the federal fiscal year 2019-2020, which $45,053,932 is federally funded. The remaining 25% of the approved grant, totaling $15,017,973 for FY 2019-2020, is funded by New York State through the MFCU's recoveries by means of law enforcement actions and civil enforcement action, regularly returns more to the state than it receives the state funding. Okay. So according to the extensive investigation by New York State Attorney General Letitia James, the private-owned nursing homes, the ones that was understaffed, is responsible for the 3,487 deaths that happened in the nursing homes. Not only some was understaffed, some was completely incompetent and not following the laws that was issued by Governor Cuomo. This is a problem, and I know heads is going to roll for this. Okay. The last article I want to read, story on how the pandemic is turning the state of New York crazy, is the story in the New York Post about a young Asian woman that has to go to OnlyFans.com. A young Asian EMS worker that has to go to OnlyFans.com just to make ends meet. Here's the article from Yahoo Entertainment. This article's from the Rolling Stone, December 14th, 2020. This is last month. An EMT joins OnlyFans to make men's eat, and then the New York Post shamed her. Yeah. OnlyFans exploded in popularity during the pandemic. Content subscription platform that allows influencer content creators to monetize their content. OnlyFans is primarily used by sex workers who post racing content on their feeds in exchange for a monthly subscriber fee. The platform has grown exponentially over the past 9 months, at once seeing a 75% increase in signups. And many users have turned to the platform as a way to make ends meet. One of the people was Lauren Kiri, 23, a New York-based paramedic who has turned to posting semi-recent content on a platform to supplement her income. She was also reportedly worked as a hostess at a Korean restaurant, meaning that, like many Americans, she juggled multiple jobs in order to do out a living. Instead of employing her for her entrepreneurial spirit, however, or clucking over what a dismantled reflection of a capitalist economy that a healthcare worker needs to hold three jobs during a pandemic. New York Post reporter Susan Elderman and Demi Buss decided to dox Quinn, possibly put her job as a healthcare worker at risk and spark a massive uproar on social media. Story headline, New York medic helped make ends meet with racy OnlyFans side gig. States that Coyle was not secretive about online exploits and had the audacity to include her name in social profile. And she also was contacted by the Post. She deleted some photos to her OnlyFans page, which she told the Post she took down in the hopes that I wouldn't lose my job in the middle of a pandemic and 3 weeks before Christmas, adding that her employer, Senior Care, asked to meet with her after being contacted by the Post. On a GoFundMe page set up for her, Tina later wrote she was meeting with the Senior Care today to discuss the status of unemployment. A representative of Senior Care later told the Daily Beast that it was not planning to terminate Koya's appointment. As OnlyFans has increased in popularity, it's not uncommon for tabloids to run stories of people in non-sex working fields turning to the platform to help make men's meet. It's not also uncommon for healthcare professionals in particular to start an OnlyFans during the dismal pay associated with the profession, as BuzzFeed previously reported. On April, an Indianapolis mechanic was fired for a job after her employer discovered she had an OnlyFans. Story went viral after she tweeted about it. On her GoFundMe page, Quarles summarized that some of the context behind the article. She said she started an OnlyFans to support herself during the pandemic. I did not want to ask my parents for help because I'm an adult and I wanted to make my own money. I never once spoke to my pitchers or worker, used my job as a paramedic to solicit subscribers. I didn't know, I did nothing wrong, and I have nothing to be ashamed of, she writes. Quia also claims to the Post that in time New York Post contacted her, she had moved down from her hometown in West Virginia to help her father after he suffered a heart attack. She also alleges that Bosami called her employer and her mother to inform that she had her OnlyFans while he was reporting out the story. Most of the quotes in the article is me defending myself to this reporter. He did not include that I begged them to remain anonymous, which was never agreed to. And I told him my safety and my job were going to be at risk if he posted this article. He truly did not care. She once started the GoFundMe post after the first representatives. Facebook group for fans of the podcast, my favorite number, and being indoctrinated with shows of support and requests for donations. Social media, the New York Post story attracted widespread uproar, including Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, who tweeted, "Leave her alone." The actual scandalous headline here is medics in the United States need two jobs to survive. This opinion's commentators on GoFundMe, which has raised more than $23,000 as of press time. The fact that a healthcare worker needs a second job when the pandemic is ongoing is a scandal, says one donor. What kind of job they take isn't. Yeah. And that's the craziness that's going on in the state of New York. Alright guys, thank you for listening to my podcast. This is Jeffrey Frazier signing off.